This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, and sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way, because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwood1, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwood1 now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/westwood1.
3, 2, 1. Do you know what I feel like doing?
Going to Saudi Arabia?
No, but I feel like kicking back, relaxing, and getting comfy. Welcome to the Get Comfy Podcast. I'm your host, Kalo, as always, here to give you the lowdown on all things that are championship material, and I'm joined by my co-host.
What up, guys? It's the biggest idiot in the room. And what do you tell me? You don't want to go in the progressive area of Saudi Arabia. It's so progressive.
The kingdom
of Saudi Arabia. It's like basically saying we're in the shadows of New York City.
I want to point out, I was watching Night of Champions the other day, and like in the middle of like transitioning between matches, there was like a shot of the stadium. And then Michael Cole is basically doing like a tourist commercial for Saudi Arabia. Like, that's what they're paid to do, obviously.
Yeah.
It feels forced. It's like someone's there behind the announce desk, like, tell them how good we are. Tell them how good we are right now.
You know, so somebody who's been to Saudi Arabia, who's been and seen, like, you know, the Mecca and everything, and on the topic of that, Sami Zayn, who is also a Muslim, hasn't been going to Saudi Arabia for the past, what was it now, 5 years since they've been doing it, because of the, you know, with the Syrians and the Saudis. So the first time he was able to go, and what did he do? He went to go see the Kaaba, which is like, you know, something every Muslim should see. It's kind of a holy thing. And as a Muslim, I'm like, I'm so proud that he's got to get this time to actually go see it and be part of it, rather than a lot of people can't even afford to go there. And he's going there not only to work, but he has time to just, you know, look around, see it, do all the things that you need to do. Like, I felt nice. And then the outfit he had too coming in.
I don't know the thing. But you obviously are more.
Purpose of having a religious mother. But, you know, I felt happy for Sami Zayn to be at this show. For him.
Yes, for sure. But we're here to talk about Night of Champions, everything that went down, the major things. And I think we're going to start off with, all right, I was meaning to ask you this off air, but here we are. Do you remember who we had for the brackets for this championship thing? Because I could not tell you. I know we both said Seth Rollins.
Oh,
it's just a matter of who he faced heading out of that. I think you said Edge or something?
I was going to say I would 100% admit I said Edge.
Okay.
And
I don't know if I said AJ Styles, because I remember talking about Bobby Lashley for a hot minute.
I think you said Bobby Lashley. It's either Bobby or AJ. It's one of those two that you remember.
I know, so I didn't say Ray, because then you made the comment, oh, you're not picking Ray?
Yeah.
But anyway, Seth Rollins is the new WWE World Heavyweight Champion. Wow.
Whoa, spoilers?
Yeah, it's not a prediction. It's a spoiler. I think that goes without saying, the worst kept secret, you know, heading into this tournament. Everyone's like, yeah, Seth, Like,
because you have a SmackDown guy, then they're not going to make it. They would do it, but it's like they're not going to make a SmackDown guy win a Raw's title.
Honestly, it's the WWE, and they've done worse.
If Vince was in control, Vince would just be like, "All right, AJ, you're holding this title, bub." But I'm like, I'm SmackDown.
I think that it's nothing to touch on, really, because we all expected it. Who he faces moving forward? Who? Like Dominic Mysterio they teased on Raw?
Dom.
I mean, hey, I'm here for it. If that means Rhea Ripley's on my screen more, but you know.
If it's going to be Finn, I wanted to hold it off at SummerSlam.
Yeah.
And I don't want the demon.
No. No.
If it's still going to do the demon, because they're going to be like, oh, it's the rematch from the Universal one, but this time it's for the world title. I said it before, Finn should not be the demon when he's in this like heel gimmick. He should be the prince.
He's booked to lose. He's booked to lose. It's no secret. They know the outcomes. Yeah. If you want to protect like your big spectacle of the demon, don't book him to lose.
You could have treated this such as like, you don't watch TNA. You never watched TNA, right?
Very little.
Do you know the character Abyss?
Yes.
So you know
he's
how
like they're Kane.
Kind of, to an extent, because when he took the mask off, he was this other guy. You remember?
He's a lawyer.
You know that guy that was when AJ had the IC title during the pandemic era, and there was a guy who was in the charts, who was doing the he's Abyss. He was the Abyss character. So in the TNA, whenever he put the mask on, he was Abyss. But then the guy, the lawyer, would be like, "Well, Abyss is my brother. Have you guys seen him?" And it was like two different people. I wish they did that with
Ezekiel.
Yeah. But it was actually like funny because they actually took his teeth out. He had missing teeth. So you couldn't really tell like, oh, that's the lawyer. They did a good job hiding. I feel like that should be the demon. Oh, like Willow, Jeff Hardy's like Orton, like when you need to go to the dark place. Oh, just stop doing the demon and be like Venom. Paint yourself Venom or, you know, like Carnage or like the Joker. Stop laboring it as just the demon.
Remember we did the pitch. Now that he's in the Judgment Day and like all their gimmick is like gothic, like whatever, he should be the Reaper or something like that.
Oh, yeah, paint himself like the Reaper and have a say. Yeah, that would be cool. And don't call him the demon. Yeah, no. What was I going to say? So who do you think he fight? You think it's gonna be somebody? I think it's gonna be Priest, because Priest got high praise. Say,
I think it's somebody from the Judgment Day. As far as it goes, my hierarchy goes like Finn, Damian, Dominic, but like Dominic is the wild card, and then Rhea.
No, I think because like we said, after Backlash in Puerto Rico, there was praise to Damian Priest for giving such an amazing match and all that. So I think they're gonna run it down with it's gonna be Priest, and then coming up on SummerSlam, it's going to be Finn Balor. And then at that time, you can add J.D. McDonagh into the mix as the next member of the Judgment Day.
For sure. I guess moving on to the newest moment, the big moment. Bianca Belair losing the Raw Women's Championship to Asuka.
I feel like if they were going to do it, they did it just to beat the record, or like the longest women's champion.
But big on records.
They're big on that. They should have done it in Mania. I feel like it would have been a bigger moment at Mania. The way she did it was cool too. Like how the split, instead of sitting in her face, she got it on her hand and then she just ranked it in. That was a cool moment. But like I said, it should have happened in Mania. It really should have.
Yeah, it took away from like the shock factor.
It was
and
still
I have
shocking,
a feeling this is going to be the same like road, no pun intended, that we're going down with Cody and Roman and stuff like that. But we'll get to that. But as far as Asuka goes, I am glad she is the Raw Women's Champion.
She is. I'm
high time.
It really is. It really is high time. And now with Triple H on the helm as well, I can't wait to see where this goes and all that. The thing is that I feel like you should have done it at Mania, because then you get the, you know, it was still a shock value no matter what, a night of champion, because everyone thought, oh, Bianca's just going to run it back and win it. I didn't expect Bianca to lose, did you?
No.
And then there was rumors that, you know, she's going to turn heel with the Street Profits, so I thought that was going to come after Saudi Arabia, but no, it was a good match at the end of the day.
Yeah, and it makes sense. Again, we're talking about, like, no duh. Like, she's on SmackDown. Obviously, they tease the chase of her and Rhea Ripley going to Mania or running a big event and running that back. So, yeah, I'm just happy Asuka is now a heel champion. As far as who she's going to be facing moving forward, I am a big proponent of Io Sky. That could be electric.
That needs to be a SummerSlam program. I don't want that on a B pay-per-view. That needs a good 20-minute match on SummerSlam.
I think her and Bayley. Or no, because it has to be a face.
I was going to say Dakota Kai, Dakota Kai, but she's injured. She's injured. She had torn ACL. Everyone in the women's division is getting hurt.
Her, Liv Morgan.
Everyone who's held the one team member of the past tag team champions have been hurt.
If you think about it. I guess a quick thing to touch on, last night on Raw, because we're sticking in the women's tag division here, Ronda Rousey and Shayna Baszler are your new WWE women's tag champs.
It should have been happening earlier. Like I said, another thing that should have happened, because these two are best friends in real life. It should have been. I think I sent you the clip. It's like, it was the movie Entourage, when they made that, and they made the TV show into the movie. Ronda's there, and you can see in the corner is Shayna Baszler as in a cameo. So, but I really think it should have been later, like when they were first introducing the tag titles, or, you know, bringing it back after the Naomi and Sasha. Like, they should have just kept them there, keep away Ronda from the women's title.
Yeah.
And then you could build up Shayna as a tag team, and then you can have her turn her back on Ronda later on.
Yeah.
Just give me Killer Shayna. Don't Killer Shayna back.
They can add credibility to these titles if they're booked properly and they're given the proper amount of time.
I feel like there's no one, nobody on the roster at the moment that can beat Shayna and Ronda.
No, I don't see anybody. But
I think maybe, what was that team? Alba Fire or whatever?
Oh, Alba Fire and Ila Dawn.
Yeah, maybe them. Maybe they're an actual tag team, which is,
hey, that works. I guess moving on to Cody Rhodes, Brock Lesnar.
The man with the one arm.
The man with the one arm, the broken arm. We're going to do a whole other podcast talking about, because the hard times stuff, blah, blah, blah. I liked how this match was constructed top to bottom.
I did too. The only nitpick I had was that Cody won the match before the last pay-per-view. I really think he shouldn't have won. I think you need him to keep losing. So you can feel, because at this point, I feel, even though we call the comparison about how Cena had that year of losing to The Rock and then he lost Massage, but he still won some. Cena beat the Brock at his, Cody beat Brock, and in the next pay-per-view, Cena lost to the Big Show at Over the Limit. Cody lost Brock. I want Cody to keep losing, so you want him to see, you want him to win. I get it. People want him to win the title, but I feel like it'd be like, come on, you gotta win. Come on. Because then it becomes less unpredictable. Like this pay-per-view, Cody versus Brock, I thought, I'm like, Brock's gonna win it. Cody's not gonna win it. I wanted to go into it like, come on, they have to book Cody to win this month. They have to book him to win the next pay-per-view. Come on, somehow. So when he finally gets that big win before Mania or whatever, you'd be like, oh my God, he won a match. God bless. Yeah. Without burying Cody, of course. Because, you know, people say if you lose, you get buried. But I feel like if you tell the story of Cody losing, it doesn't damage him.
Well, I think that's why they did this whole broken arm gimmick thing. Because they're like, Cody put up a great fight, but he was really fighting Brock with one arm. And the finish of the match, technically, he passed out. He didn't tap. So they're going to draw on that and be like, well, he didn't tap, but he didn't do whatever. So
what do you think the rubber match is going to be?
Before we continue the show, I wanted to take a little time to talk about Noom. Noom uses the latest in behavioral science to empower people to take control of their health for good through a combination of psychology, technology, and human coaching on their platform to help millions of users meet their personal health and wellness goals. A lot of people face pressures to change themselves to fit other people's expectations, and the more freeing solution is to find the things that work for you. Noom understands that everyone's weight loss journey is unique, and what works for someone else might not really work for you. That's why Noom's approach adapts to your lifestyle. It's flexible and focuses on progress, not perfection, allowing you to work towards your goals at a pace that's comfortable for you. And for me personally, that's huge. I know that I am not Dwayne The Rock Johnson. I know that I'm not getting up at 4 a.m. to go work out. But by using Noom and having that little more of flexibility and stability, it certainly helps with my journey here. Noom also makes it easy to start your weight loss journey and stay on track with personalized lessons that help you gain confidence and a practical knowledge, one-on-one coaching, and cognitive behavioral approaches that teach you how to be mindful of your habit. 75% of Noom weight loss users finished the program, and more than 60% of users that engaged with the program kept the weight off for a year or more. So start building better habits for healthier long-term results. Sign up for your trial at Noom.com/believe. Again, that is Noom, Noom.com/believe. BL.
What kind of stipulation?
I honestly thought going into Night of Champions, if they were doing this broken arm thing, this was going to be an unsanctioned match. I thought that's what this gimmick would be.
That's the other pay-per-view. That's the other company that did the unsanctioned match. You're thinking of the wrong company.
As far as like what the rubber match, because obviously this is going to happen at Money in the Bank.
Well, Cody also on Raw. I don't know if it's going to happen at Money in the Bank. I think they're going to hold it off until SummerSlam.
So then would Cody be in Money in the Bank?
I think he's not going to qualify. I think Brock is going to cost him. And then Cody's going to be on the shelf for a couple of weeks. And then past Money in the Bank, he's going to come back and challenge Brock.
Okay. So either it's going to be a steel cage match or, I don't know, ambulance. I was talking to you about the ambulance match. I thought this was going to be an ambulance match.
It really could have. You know what I think it is, and I wish it is? Last I'm not calling standing. No, a fight pit.
Oh, gosh.
Matt Riddle and Seth Rollins. Granted, that rivalry needed the fight pit, but I feel like Brock could be like, I'm a UFC fighter, which sell just like men, and they're going to put in a fight pit, which I don't think it's going to be. The story doesn't need the fight pit match, but I think that's where they're going to go with the rubber match.
It can go anywhere. And speaking of going anywhere, unless you have something else to say about this.
Oh, no, I'm good.
Let's talk about the main, or my bad, the third main event on this show. They got to stop with that.
It was 4 main events because Brock and Cody was also our main event. 4. Gosh. 4 main events.
We got it. They got to stop.
Wait, before we go into the main events, Gunther killed our boy, Mustafa Ali.
You know I'm backing Gunther for everything.
Even though Mustafa Ali is from Pakistan, man got murdered. My own cousin got destroyed.
And all
I thought was Brock saying, get a life, kid.
It sucks. And now that we're talking about this, I love Gunther. You and I both know Imperium's my ish.
Yeah.
But I love Mustafa Ali. I'm a Mustafa Ali stan ever since 205 Live. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, he's a good wrestler, and he could be a great champion. The match was great, but
it needed build. It didn't have enough build, and it was like,
why are we making Mustafa Ali lose? It's just like your boy LA Knight, where it's like he's popular, he's over, he can wrestle really good.
I don't want to talk about that.
Mustafa's iffy on the promo, but like they're great. The fans want to see them. Yeah, yet they keep losing.
Well, I feel like you just keep putting them in matches. Like people like Gunther. I feel like that match, if it had storytelling, could have got a 4-star match. Maybe even 5. If the story was there, they kind of rushed to do like, oh, he's a number one contender. Boom, here you go. I think that could have been a 5-star. And I hope down the line they run it back. Because with him flipping and selling and his the two lariats at the end, was I was just like, oh my God, he's dead.
Those were stiff shots.
He's gone. He's dead. But that shows you how good of a talent Mustafa Ali is. And if you talk about underrated superstars in WWE, there are a lot of talented superstars, and there are a lot of superstars that are unutilized and beginning to credit where credit is due. Ali is one of them.
As you were saying that, I like had a flashback. I was gonna say, I wish Mustafa Ali was in Money in the Bank. But my mind goes back to whenever he was at the top of the ladder.
And Brock came in.
And Brock just said, get a life, kid. Took him off the ladder and then took Money in the Bank when he wasn't even in the match.
Well, technically, Sammy was in it, but he tied Sammy up by like a fucking dead animal. I completely forgot about that. Get a life, kid.
See? I mean, it happens. Mustafa Ali is a good dude. Let's move on to the main event. And
We have three. We have three more main events to talk about.
All right, WWE, get it straight. There's one main event, we all know it, and it features Roman Reigns. It was Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens versus Solo and Roman for the WWE Undisputed Raw and SmackDown Tag Team Champions of the World titles. I just like to add all those things in there. This match, as we always say, whenever the Bloodline story crumbles down just a little bit more, this was peak cinema, as they say.
No, to be fair, the ending of it was peak cinema, not like the whole match itself.
Oh, the whole thing. I mean, beginning to end. You said it at the top of the podcast. Sami Zayn coming out.
Yeah.
He was in the thing, and like the whole crowd was going wild. He took the mic from the announcer and said, "I seen the translation." He was like, "We're gonna do it the proper way." I was like, are they really going to make him lose?
They're running back Elimination Chamber again? Oh, no.
I was there was times in that match, like, he hit a spear, he did this, he did that, there was the ref spot, and I get it's like this. That was the Bloodline's way of winning, ref spot, Solo interferes, he's in the match.
Solo!
But be honest, like, for predictions and stuff like that, in the middle of the match, did it ever cross your mind that they make Roman go over?
No, I thought...
I thought it'd be too many titles for him to hold.
No, anyway. not only that, just because they're like, oh, the thousand day thing. And yeah. I had a feeling that, like, oh my God, I'm just waiting for the Usos to come and piss Roman off, and that's going to cost it. It was there. And like I said, the match itself, for me, I'm like... 3 stars. And one thing that was another way that took that made me know that Kevin and Sammy are going to win, it was a go home show when Roman hold up all the titles. And if you're a wrestling fan, you know whoever's holding the title at the end of the go home show is not going to win the title. So I was like, all right, I got some security there knowing that KO and Sammy are coming in. The match itself, I want to say it. The end of the match, where, you know, Jimmy and Jay and Roman, it looked like a cinema cut from a video game. Like, you're in the middle of a match and then it's a cutscene. That's what I felt like when I saw it with the Elimination Chamber as well, and at the Royal Rumble. Whenever they stop wrestling and they're just talking, it felt like a cutscene. And then, you know, with Jimmy hitting the super kick, it felt like the quick time action when you're Jay, you have to hit the A button or the X button to see that. Everyone thought it was going to be at the 1,000-day stipulation where Jimmy, it's going to turn. Because, you know, they were teasing Jimmy. Everyone's like, Jay's going to be the one. But the last couple of weeks, it's been Jimmy. People say 1,000-day reign, Jimmy's going to break it up. But they pulled the trigger at the Chamber match. And I think it was a perfect time to do it. Because you least expected it to happen on Night of Champions. You didn't think it was going to happen. You thought it was going to happen the following week. And when Jimmy's saying, I'm doing what you should have done months ago. Perfect cinnamon. And if he brings back no one that shirt he had, like no one's bitch. Oh, like no, you know the shirt I'm talking about, right? When he came back, he's like nobody's bitch, whatever. If he brings that, you give him that match. Because at Money in the Bank, we're supposed to get Solo and Roman versus Jay and Jimmy, which honestly could have been waited to SummerSlam. I feel like that's a SummerSlam in a match.
That is, but I feel like he's going to be. Roman's going to be occupied by then with a championship match. At least I would hope, you know.
Do you think Jay's going to turn on Jimmy, though?
That's where I'm confused, because you said it yourself, main event Jay, it was always kind of the thing leading up to the Bloodline falling. It would be, now that Cody lost, it would be main event Jay Uso. Mm-hmm. Finally, taking a word from Sami Zayn and doing, as Jimmy said, I'm doing what you should have been doing all these time ago.
Mm-hmm.
But I am thoroughly surprised it was Jimmy, the turn.
You think so? After the weeks of like teasing Jimmy and Jimmy getting verbally abused by...
I get that, but like in the hierarchy of like who's been on Roman's side more versus who has the motivation already to do it,
yeah,
it would be Jay. But and you now also... that Jimmy just said, you know what?
Yeah.
He's right. And it's just... I always said coming out of WrestleMania, I don't want the Bloodline story to get stale. Now that the Usos have turned, I would assume Solo is next. After that, and it follows what Cody said, you're a Roman with no reign. You're going to lose them, and then it's going to be Solo, blah, blah, blah.
You're a Roman without an empire is what he said.
Something like that.
You know, here's the thing. I think Jimmy's going to be like, remember Roman said that you were his right-hand man? You didn't even come out to him in WrestleMania. Solo is his right-hand man now. You're no longer his right-hand man. You're just another person. And I forget who said it. And it was like, somebody's like, blood is thicker than a little less blood. Because Roman's like kind of cousins with Jay, and Jimmy's literally
that
blood.
That sounds like something Paul Heyman would say.
Yeah. Blood is thicker than less blood.
And I also want to point out, I was on Twitter, and I seen Rikishi tweet out.
I saw like, something like that. I didn't see what
enough
he said.
Or whatever. And I'm like, all right. So
Papa there Rikishi? Was,
well, remember they were wanting to do that council thing?
Oh, yeah, with the pass.
So I'm like, maybe that comes about? Because they have to address now that the Usos are... out of the Bloodline.
Well, Jimmy is. Jimmy dragged Jay out of the ring. Jay was going to stay. Jimmy was like, come on, Jay. Let's go, Jay. Come on. Jay's like, I didn't do it. You're the one who kicked him. I didn't do anything. I feel like it would have been cooler if the second kick that Jimmy did, Jay would have came along with it and did it with the same thing. He'd be like, okay, we're doing this. I feel like it would have been a lot better if Jay got involved. I think Roman's uncle, the Wild Samoans, are going to be at the 1,000-day celebration. And I think Rikishi should come up. If they could get The Rock, they're not going to get The Rock. But if they could get The Rock to show up, it would be cool.
Yeah. Who knows?
Who knows? But I don't think Solo is going to turn on Roman.
No, I feel like that's more towards the fall. Because they're going to keep Solo around as long as they can. He's a young star. He needs time there.
I think it's going to be more closer to WrestleMania, if anything.
Yeah, because then that'd be the final like nail in the coffin. Because he only has Paul Heyman.
Yeah, you get the pressure leading in, and then he pushes Solo away. Hmm. Yeah.
Who knows? But that is everything at Night of Champions. We got a new champion. We have two new champions. Mommy retained her title in 69 nice seconds. That
Cody
was nice.
Had a broken arm. Mustafa Ali didn't get a life.
Kind of. I like Gunther, so, you know. Hey.
He didn't get a life. If he got the title, he would have gotten a life. He didn't get the life.
Hey, there you go. I like your thinking. Yeah. And, that about does it here for the Get Comfy Lowdown. We hope you guys enjoyed. This show goes live every Wednesday morning, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time on all major listening platforms like iTunes, Spotify, and, of course, the Bleav Network. I have been K-Lo, joined by the one and only.
The Idiot.
And we'll see you guys next time.
Peace.
Thank you for listening to Bleav. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Bleav.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.